When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the first ever Abroad in Japan podcast. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and this is probably the best way of experiencing Japan without being in Japan. Is that quite bold? A little bit too bold.
No, not in the slightest. That's good.
I'm joined here by Pete Donaldson, who is... Well, how could you summarise yourself with three words, Pete?
I'm definitely a man.
A man?
Definitely. Oh, yeah. In three words. That's a three word, isn't it? I am man. I think that's a good enough introduction, personally, Chris.
Oh, crikey. So Pete is a good friend of mine. He, if you live in London, you probably know him as a very reputable, world-famous, absolute radio DJ. Mm. And he's also a podcast king. If you're into your football, you probably might know him from the Football Ramble.
Yeah, I do football podcasts, I do little wrestling podcasts, I'm on the radio. I'm a busy man, Chris.
And above
you're lucky
all,
you have me, mate.
He's a busy man, and above all, he's Twitter verified.
I am Twitter verified.
Twice the man I'll ever be.
Why aren't you Twitter verified, Chris?
Know,
what's
Pete.
Going on there?
I don't know.
What have you done to the Twitterati?
It's terrible. I've had a go at Twitter for ages about this. I've waited 3 years. I've been like, come on, look at me.
Don't tell people work. That you want it,
yeah,
and then you will get it. That's the thing.
Yeah, bit of a letdown. But anyway, why is Pete here? Why are you here, Pete? What's the connection?
Because you need someone to talk at.
I do. So for 5 years, I've been wanting to do a podcast, right? But I just haven't had anyone to do it with who's good, basically. I just want to sit in my room and do it like, on my bed with my iPhone. I want to do it real, proper podcast.
Mm.
And for that, I needed someone who knows their stuff. And that's where Pete comes in.
And luckily, I mean, I've done a few podcasts in the past. I know how to get things on the internet. So basically, it's more technical than actual functional. But yeah, I'm just here to talk to you, to try and, you know, pull ideas and thoughts out of you.
That's
so to
right.
Speak.
We haven't even known each other that long, really, have we?
No.
That's 6 months, 9 months?
6 months, if that. We first met in London. You were doing filming parts of Natsuki the movie.
Natsuki the movie. And then you invited us into the studio. We filmed a bit, got on quite well. And since then, Pete's come to visit me in Japan, giving him a whirlwind tour of Tohoku in the north.
Tohoku is the most beautiful part of anywhere I've ever been, to be quite frank. Was it Hakata we went to or Sakata? I always forget whether it's an S or a H.
Sakata, yeah, in the remote, far-flung north. Did quite a few things, didn't we?
We fitted in a lot in 3 days.
Fox Village.
You went to see some
inevitable.
Foxes.
The inevitable Fox Village. Everyone seems to go there these days. Like, it's become the top tourist attraction to Tohoku. It's not even Japanese culture. It's Foxes in a village.
And that's kind of your fault, to be honest, Chris, isn't
it? It's kind of my fault, yeah.
I mean...
I took a truckload of YouTubers there. We filmed it and then bang, viral, and everyone goes there now these days.
It's very impressive, but I always think when I go to Japan, so let's fill people in, I go to Japan quite a lot because when I was a kid I wanted to live there, but I did manage to pass the JET exam, the Japanese language school. I muffed it up completely, I was very shy, I messed it up, I didn't manage to go there. So instead what I did is wait another 10 years and spend a ridiculous amount of money every year getting out there because I love it.
So you go over what? Every year now?
Every year, pretty much, yeah. I try and do around Halloween, because Halloween in Shibuya is a lot of fun. But if I can't get there, I'll do sort of a late September.
And what is it about Japan you like so much?
What
roped you into Japan?
It's quite...
Drawed you in?
I think it's quite unique, because I'm not like an otaku kind of... I don't like anime, I don't like manga, I don't really like the films. I don't like the spooky little girl
like
horror films and stuff. I like films,
yeah.
But Japanese cinema's not a big deal for me. I don't really like the video games. So what... I think it might be the beer, you know.
The beer?
I think it might be the drinking culture.
Well... Sapa or beer?
Well, all the beers are great, and the way they sort of mix drinks together, and they don't seem to care for, you know, the rules. I had a Campari and beer last time I had went there.
What's that called?
A problem, I think, for a man who likes for a man who likes both Campari and beer. The intersection of that particular Venn diagram Trouble Town.
I guess I'm the same as you, though. Like, I didn't have any idea I was going to Japan until about a year before I went.
Yeah.
And I just thought, it's really awkward, but I always get asked by people, why are you in Japan? Japanese people, it's the first question they ask, why are you here? And I've just whittled it down to, I wanted an adventure.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what about Japanese culture do you like? Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's just mysterious. Mysterious, isn't it? Mysterious, exciting.
It's just, I think it's probably, if I could distill it down to one thing, I like people being quiet on the tube. They're very quiet on the tube, so I appreciate that kind of thing.
Yeah. I've been, so I'm back in the UK now.
Yes.
For a few weeks on holiday and getting this up and running and relaxing a bit. And one of the most noticeable things today, I came to London on the train and it's like being at a party or something. A party you don't want to be at with lots of people screaming and shouting. There was a guy just literally in the seat in front of me just shouting random words loud. I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, he didn't spot it was me, but, you know, just keeping an eye on you, Chris, to be honest. Yeah, so I appreciate the whole picture. And when I finish like a two-week holiday there and I go, right, I've done it, I don't need to go back, I can go somewhere else now. And then about 3 weeks after, I might be playing like the Yakuza video game or something. I go, oh, I want some of that ice cream called, what's it called, that ice cream that I really like. A particular brand of ice cream, basically. Japanese ice cream, coolish. I really like coolish.
The ice cream that melts in your hand.
Yes, always in your hand. We met up just before Christmas and went to the Fox Village. If you go to any pet store in Japan, I'm always a little bit like, yeah, I don't think the Japanese, I don't think animal welfare's high on the list. The little dogs, the little puppy dogs, in the smallest cages possible. And if you go to the big department stores, they sell a lot of like budgies and stuff in tiny little cages and hedgehogs and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel again partially guilty here because a few years ago I made a video about an owl cafe,
right? Okay, yeah,
and a hedgehog cafe and an everything cafe.
Oh, they weren't together, were they? Because the owls would eat the hedgehogs. Yeah, these owls are well fed.
But, like, you know, I didn't even realise when I was filming it and uploading it that it's probably not the greatest thing. Owls in a room, you know. And, I've had this shroud of guilt hanging over me ever since.
Oh,
lots of people, lots of animal rights people, like, sent me loads of hate mail over the owl video and the hedgehog video. So I've given up going to animal cafes now.
Right, okay.
Never again.
There's a dog cafe in Osaka that I have tried to get into on no less than four occasions, and each time the manager has mugged me off with an excuse why I'm not allowed in the dog cafe.
For example?
Too busy. We're not open yet,
sir. That's a legitimate excuse, isn't it?
Too busy, not open yet. Not having it.
There's only so many people you can fit in a dog cafe.
Unless it's against a fire regulation, I'm not bothered, to be honest. I want to see some dogs, Chris. But he just always mugs me off every time I go. I'm like, oh, I'm so upset. Never mind.
What else did we do while we're in Tokyo, though? Mummies.
We saw some mummies, yes.
That creeped you out a bit, didn't it?
Massively creeped me out. These two chaps, these two monks, weren't they, I think? These two dudes.
They weren't chaps when we saw them.
No, they were practically desiccated, Chris.
So we took Pete to Sakata in the north, little village, little town, and one of the things they got there is these mummies, basically. There's a very extremist Buddhist practice where basically you poison yourself for about 2 years, living off berries and tree bark, like you do.
Like I said, drinking culture, that's what I love about it.
And then they do it to the point that there's no moisture in their skin. They're basically a skeleton already. And then they go into a hole, put a concrete lid over it, and sit there for a few weeks. Every day, I think every hour, they ring a little bell.
Yeah, to sort of go, I'm still alive.
I'm still here.
I've still got the energy to ring one bell.
and then when the bell's, you know, when there's no bell, they leave them there for another 2 years.
But they've got a little kind of air pipe going down as well.
Suffocation, that would be...
I saw a little air pipe coming up, I would shout down it, why are you doing this? This is foolish.
Probably why the practice wouldn't go down so well in the UK.
No, I guess not.
Take advantage of the pipe. And then they dig it up, dig up what's left of the guy. And the idea is you're not actually dying, you're becoming a spirit, a god, right? This mummy.
They are beautifully maintained.
Well, it was quite impressive.
Incredibly
bloody
impressive.
Bloody eerie, wasn't it? Yeah, but they call it a flesh idol.
Oh.
Flesh idol, because the idea is your flesh is still kind of on through this process.
A flesh idol. It sounds like some kind of competitive sex festival. I don't know. Like pop idol.
Oh, God.
I don't know. But I had to... I mean, speaking of competitive sex festivals, when I went to see them, I'd torn my trousers earlier on. In a hoverboard-related incident at a startup company that you showed me.
Yeah, you took you to a startup company randomly where you got on a hoverboard and drove around.
And then I fell over and tore all of my trousers. And not just, like, the whole crotch.
And that was bad, but the worst thing you did was give away all my cider.
So Chris likes cider.
I do. There's no denying that. I asked Pete to bring over, you know, a few cans of cider, which is quite difficult to get in Japan. It's getting more and more popular.
Right.
I needed some cider. Magners, if you're wondering which brand it was.
If you want to send Chris some.
But you brought over like 10 cans.
I think I brought you more than that. I think I might have brought you close to 14.
And then there was none.
The manager of the hotel, who'd kindly given me an upgrade because I'm a big guy on campus, on your insistence, basically, you offered him a can, I think.
I did.
I came downstairs with the lion's share of the cans of cider, and he took them from me. And I don't have enough Japanese to say, stop that.
Not a gift, Des.
Not omiyage, Des.
So I came down to reception. I was like, Pete, where's the cider? We'll have a drink. Me, you, the manager, it'll be great. And Pete looked awkwardly at me, and then the manager was like, oh, thank you, Chris-san, for the cider. And I was like, what? And like, he'd taken all the cider, all the cans. And Pete just sort of sat there looking sheepish, going, sorry.
I felt so guilty.
We couldn't get them back. We could be like, oh, sorry, Keita. Name's Keita. Sorry, Keita. Where's the cider, mate? Bring it back now. It wasn't a gift. Too late by that point.
Never mind. Look, you can take some back now. You're in London for a little while.
I'll take a shipment over.
You can grab some.
I got my revenge, though, by making you look awkward. Sat between. So we took Pete to a hostess bar on the last night.
Yeah, so I'd never been to a hostess bar.
It sounds really shady, doesn't it?
Shady.
It's not shady, right? In Japan, you know, you sit down, you have a drink, and, all right, it's going to sound shady.
Can you describe it to make it not sound shady? Well, it was my understanding, Chris, that it wasn't quite a hostess bar. It was something called a snack bar, which I believe, which basically
yes.
they get the waitresses
bad.
To sort of sit with you and serve you food.
Yeah, and it's the most common bar in Japan, right?
Yeah,
it's not like a special...
Yeah,
place,
it's
know,
not down
everywhere.
A not down a dingy kind of way. You don't have to dodge like frightening yakuza or anything. It's very much kind of just the high street bar. That's what goes on there.
High street bar, girls in there everywhere, and they'll sit down. I think it was me, you, my friend Natsuki.
Mm.
We went in, and you had two girls sat either side of you.
Yeah, I did.
And then you had to whip out the karaoke.
Steady.
But Pete looked really uncomfortable. This idea of these girls sat either side of him, pouring his drinks,
yeah,
giving him some snacks.
It's rare that
holding the microphone.
It's rare that girls even come near me. But it's a weird concept for Westerners to understand. It's a weird concept, I think, for anyone to understand, because it is kind of like, what is this? It's like an extension from being a waiter. It's just people sit with you, light cigarettes, talk to you, and then you leave. And it's just for me. Weird.
It is, and we see it as like paying for women kind of thing, right? Well,
yeah.
You're not. You're just paying for a trip. I'm really defending myself here, as if it's really bad, but it's not, I swear.
If you needed to know why Chris went to Japan, it's not the manga. No, but it just sounds as shady as heck. But yeah, I wasn't used to it. I don't think I would ever get used to it, but it's just the way things are done there.
It is.
And it was on Natsuki's insistence.
It was Natsuki's insistence. I knew a great time. Karaoke.
Did a little sing-song. What did I sing?
I Want It That Way by Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, not a great performance, has to be said. Has to be said.
Just you shouting, really, wasn't it?
But Natsuki later on, might be the next day, actually, he smashed through. You're familiar, everyone's familiar with Natsuki, that's why you're listening.
I hope so.
To the Brown Japan podcast, of crying out loud. But he was singing, he rattled through a couple of Clash songs, I think, in a... And that's another thing about bar-based karaoke. It's like, people could just be having a nice, quiet drink... But if one person in the bar decides they want to do some karaoke, it's fine.
Well, yeah, but
ruining everyone's night with your terrible
pipes.
Coming
from the UK, you feel a bit guilty, right?
Yeah.
You sit down and there's only 5-6 people sitting down smoking, drinking, and then you come up with a microphone and ruin everyone's evening with a rendition of, like, Bananarama or Elvis or something. It's a bit weird, but it's a beautiful thing. And definitely on my top 10 things to do list if you come to Japan.
It's something to do, isn't it? It is something to do. But I had a lovely time, and so we thought, we'd get together and create a podcast. So thank you so much for listening to us.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming, everyone. Thank you for coming.
Hot topic today, though.
Yeah.
It is Valentine's Day, is it? Wait,
it's still Valentine's Day.
Crikey.
It is. Is anyone planning anything? I mean, I didn't get a card today. I didn't give away any cards.
Literally
so.
Nothing. Pretty bland.
Oh yeah, sorry, I did have a card for you, Chris, but I gave it away to Kater, the manager of a fine ryokan.
So Valentine's Day in Japan is a little bit different,
right,
from the West. So they kind of break up into 2 days: Valentine's Day, February 14th, where girls give stuff to guys. So you usually get like chocolates or a card, and then on March 14th, a month later, on White Day, the guys kind of have to give gifts back to the girls who gave them stuff.
White Day.
White Day. Don't know where the name comes from.
Is it a little bit shady?
I mean, the name probably won't go down too well in the West.
No.
But
White Day. It's so weird. So they give white things?
It's not just Japan, to be fair. I don't actually know the relevance of White Day.
Here's a little vial of Tippex. It's some white chocolate. I hate white chocolate. Ugh. Horrible stuff. Dreadful stuff. Shocking. Absolutely dreadful stuff. So that is a little bit strange. A lot of Japanese culture seems to be quite... It's a bit of an obligation. Like, you just do this because it happens.
Basically.
Yeah. Because it's a tradition. But I guess Valentine's Day and White Day is probably generally quite a recent tradition as well.
Well, I mean, it's good because as a guy, right, I'd get presents from people on Valentine's Day. Mm. And then I would know who gave me the gift. And I'd know who to give gifts to on White Day. So but it's kind of less awkward. It takes some of the awkwardness out of it.
Is there kind of like a ratio? Do you have to give more money to... You have to give more more expensive gifts than they give to you?
I don't. Well, I didn't. I mean, there's one... I remember one time my Japanese girlfriend, I think 3 or 4 years ago, ex-Japanese girlfriend gave me a big box of chocolates, took me out for dinner. They were rather nice. Mm. And then on White Day, I gave her some Post-it notes.
Hang on, whoa, steady, Chris. Post-it notes, mate.
Well, I don't know about you, but I use like 50 post-it notes a day. So to me, it's like the ultimate currency. Better than Bitcoin, better than pounds, post-it notes.
Look, cryptocurrency has fallen off a cliff. Exactly. Get involved with the 3Ms.
Post-it notes won't. They're going to go up in value.
So hang on, you gave her, were they fancy post-it notes?
They weren't the cheap ones. They were like the really good
3M quality ones. Yeah,
top dollar 3M stuff there. And
so if you want to annotate anything, my love,
exactly,
go ahead.
But it didn't go down entirely well.
I would like to think she wrote bad boyfriend with a sharpie on one of them and stuck them to your head.
I can't remember what she said, but it wasn't flattering. And that relationship didn't last.
Straight
much
afterwards,
after that, well, it was all downhill from there. To be honest,
I cannot believe you gave her bloody post-it notes.
Well, it was, and I think it was
how many packs?
I think it was in a box shaped like a ring as well.
Oh no!
What's
wrong with you?
That is
dreadful.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Still.
Useful.
She could use.
I don't know if she used them or not. You chucked to the floor. But as a teacher, you know, I got a lot of gifts from students.
So you started as a language teacher.
Yeah, so I was a English language teacher. For the very programme you applied to.
You got in.
I got in somehow.
You're a bit bulkier than I was when I was 22.
The first 3 years of teaching, I was like, probably shouldn't be here.
How is this allowed?
Maybe I was good at it, I don't know. It's one of those things. But like, yeah. And but as a teacher now, I got a ton of presents from students.
Isn't that weird?
Well,
where does everyone's disposable income come from?
We're 16, 18-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah. Post-it notes. I've noticed.
Great.
I've noticed teacher uses a lot of post-it notes, shall we?
But I mean, no, I got like chocolates.
Whoa.
I got like lemonade. they can't buy me alcohol because I'm like a teacher and they're a student. But, like, I got like lemonade from the vending machine downstairs.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
CC Lemon. That's what it is. CC
I've
Lemon.
I try that stuff.
Picari Sweat.
Nice.
No expense spared.
Get involved with the electrolyte business. Lovely.
Yen out the vending machine. And
so does that mean you had to give. Actually, it's a bit creepy. If you've got to give give presents in White Day, Mr. Broad.
Going out to... No. I feel a bit like...
It's all right, they'll just be buzzing not. It's fine.
I was basically Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
but like, they're just getting flattered in class.
Yes. Did any of them write, "I love you," on their eyelids?
No, they wrote it on their desk. I love you on their desk. And then I'd come past and they'd like uncover, they'd move their book away, their dictionary, and they'd reveal it. I love you, Kudisu. And I'd be like, oh, it's definitely not awkward. I'd like carry on walking around the class.
Spill your Pocari sweat everywhere. Wow. So people would profess their love for you through the form of graffiti on the tables.
The worst thing is there's words in Japanese called ikimen.
Ikimen.
I don't know if you heard it. Ikimen.
No.
It means like sexy, cool guy.
Oh.
I didn't know what it meant for the first year.
Right.
And because I didn't know Japanese, I went to Japan.
Yeah.
Don't do that. But and I was walking down the corridor, and students would be like, oh, ikimen, ikimen. And they don't hide it, they shout it.
Right.
And once I discovered what this word meant, the teacher was like, oh, they think you're...
sexy
cool,
man.
Cool, sexy British man.
Indiana Jones.
I was like, woo-hoo. But it just made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's not right,
18-year-old girls going, oh, ikimen, like down the corridor.
I bet you reminded your school, didn't it? Reminded you of college, didn't it, I guess?
Wasn't that cool then, unfortunately.
Icky men.
You're painfully aware that it's probably just because you're this exotic, weird, foreign person.
Yeah, exactly.
Just walking, trudging through their school.
Just putting pussy nuts on everything.
Yeah.
It's just the way of the West.
Going back to Valentine's Day, though, what's the greatest thing you've ever received?
Given? I'm trying to think, I can't remember a good Valentine's Day. I know what I did this time last year.
Yeah.
I actually went to get Japanese themed. I actually went with two male friends, because I think it was on a Friday or a Saturday. We both went to a okonomiyaki restaurant.
In London?
In London. So there's a couple of very rare okonomiyaki restaurants. I actually, the first time I came back from Japan, and went, okonomiyaki is my favourite dish, pretty much.
I'm amazed how fast you can say that.
Okonomiyaki.
Because it took me like 3 years to say that word. I was like, okonomiyaki, no,
it's because I demand it every week, Chris. Takoyaki and okonomiyaki, I blummin' love. And
omelette.
And I remember coming back and going, why don't they make these omelettes like fast food? Like, they would fly. Yeah. Somebody did it in Goode Street. It lasted about 6 months and it disappeared but it's basically a vessel for that beautiful okonomiyaki sauce. That beautiful.
How can you describe it to people who don't know what it is?
It's like a posh, it's more like a pancake because it's got flour in it. It's like a thick omelette with like whatever you want really, squid, pork, whatever.
Usually fish and Worcester sauce on top.
And this beautiful Worcester sauce, kind of HP sauce kind of derivative. Oh, so nice.
Savoury goodness.
The katsuobushi and the, oh man, so nice. okonomiyaki is delicious. But basically on Valentine's Day, we went, let's go and get some food, let's go and get some okonomiyaki. And we went to this restaurant and it was full of couples.
Oh.
Getting their grill on of the okonomiyaki.
I'm pretty bad at Valentine's Day. I can remember anything. I did one thing once, I had romantic, it must have been years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. Got like a party popper filled with rose petals.
Oh, nice!
And
actually, wouldn't
the idea
burned?
Is you pop it over the bed and like
fire
have this
in
nice,
a face.
Oh, it's lovely, you know, like the candles, petals. But I popped it and it just went everywhere, all over the room, and it just looked like crap. And I was like, why have I done this? A river of petals all over the bed, all over the floor.
Did you ever make perfume when you were a kid with like water and rose petals? Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Just like a big... The kids in my town, pretty big in my town up north there, Chris. It was basically just kids making this perfume by putting rose petals in water. Doesn't work. Doesn't make a nice perfume. No, it makes nothing. We'll take a short ad break, if that's right, Chris. Because I'm the... what am I? I'm like the kind of admin,
man.
The podcast man. So I'm going to press a button. I've made this just for you, Chris.
Made what?
Well, this noise.
Are you a YouTuber?
Wow.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Are you a YouTuber?
Wow.
Like that, do you?
What was that?
It was like, are you, it was the Are You YouTuber, what kind of TV, was it Fuji TV or something?
Yeah, it's like a Japanese TV show. Mm. Big morning show. I think Fuji TV, they came to my door and wanted to interview me, and that was the first thing he said.
Are you a YouTuber?
And I was like, oh, I am. I was like, what else am I supposed to say? Of course I am, I'm a YouTuber, innit? Really awkward.
They made you do it in English, I thought. It was kind of disappointing as well, yeah. It's just kind of annoying.
Cause I mean, I didn't want to bungle it in Japanese either, though.
No, but
you got,
I mean,
2 million people watching, and I'm like, bungling my Japanese, it'd be game over, wouldn't it?
Why would it be game over? You're not going to get thrown out.
Why would it be some sort of meme? If I become a meme in
Japanese
Japan,
boy,
for like saying something stupid, which would definitely happen. Chris the Muppet. But like, yeah, well, no, that was a really odd experience.
Yeah, I bet it was. And
are you YouTube?
I don't know.
What did you
say
to that?
I went out to, last time I was out, I went with a mate the time before, actually. And he's like a fairly large TV guy over here. And we were interviewed in an Akihabara, I think it's probably Super Potato, the famous computer game shop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where they sell a load of retro games, beautifully packaged, old Game Boy games and stuff. And it was the day before Halloween, and so I bought a costume from Don Quixote or, you know, one of the department stores, and I had like a Minnie Mouse, a female Minnie Mouse costume. And the woman, and we got interviewed by the television, and went, what's in the bag? And I was like, it's a Minnie Mouse costume. And she went, that is for a girl. And all I could think to say was,
no.
Sexiness. It's sexy. I panicked, Chris.
What an experience.
See, so I could have been the deviant sex man in Super Potato that day.
I could have been the deviant sex man. That is a quote for the CV.
I think so. So, yeah.
So on your many trips to Tokyo and Japan and beyond, have you ever dated a Japanese girl or anything?
No. I mean,
No, fleeting romance.
They've made it very clear that I am difficult to look at, Chris. I look like...
You don't look difficult to look at. You've got your hair back.
I look like the disgraced actor who played Teabag out of Prison Break. That's who I look like.
Your claim to it, yeah.
But a couple of mates have done like the internet dating thing, like Tinder and Bumble and all those ones. So Tinder, from what I've seen and heard... people seem to use it, certainly in the cities, as kind of like a friendship kind of thing. It's not always about dating. Yeah. It's not always about anything like that. Or maybe my friends are equally as ugly as I am.
I had a good friend come over to Tokyo once, and he was like, I'm bored, I don't know what to do. And I was like, why don't you use Tinder? Mm. I don't personally use Tinder. Mm. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you. But I don't.
Just say it. Just swipe through every man in Japan.
I don't judge people by their appearance.
And I hope that nobody does that to me.
But like, I know, I was like, yeah, I use Tinder. And he's like, no, I don't do that. Mm. But I stole his phone. I was like, no, I'm doing it.
What's your AppStar password?
I did it. I put his details in, took a nice photo, and off we went. 10 minutes later, had about 20 girls.
Holy moly.
I exaggerated. About an hour later, 20 girls.
So that's too many.
Now, he had blonde hair, and if you're blonde, you do really well in Japan.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know why they like blonde-haired people in Japan. Maybe it's the rarity. I don't know. Maybe he was generally a good-looking guy. I don't know. But anyway, so he had all these girls there, and... you know, he met a girl who was a model, really nice girl, and they dated for a year.
Amazing.
Off of Tinder.
That's incredible. What a success story.
If I'd never stolen his phone, that would have happened.
It's like I said, people go on Tinder not for not for friendship, they go for relationships.
Exactly.
Like I said at the start, yeah?
But
not for friendship, for relationships.
No, yeah, and I have quite a lot of friends who come over to Japan and just do it in Tokyo.
Holy
moly. There's loads of really... nice people there who are just willing to meet and hang out.
Is the language barrier a big deal?
Is the language barrier a big deal? No, because the people that use Tinder, the girls that use Tinder in Japan, are often speak English quite well.
Right,
they're a bit more kind of out there, a bit more
understand.
Kind of confident, looking to, you know, practice their English. Mm. I think they almost see it as like an English conversation practicing app, something like that.
Fantastic stuff.
I remember using it like 2 years ago, and there was a girl on there that I was swiping through, and the girl was like... some of the descriptions are so awful. Like, because you have to describe yourself in a line or two, don't you?
Oh, God, yeah.
What's your interest? And one girl was like, I like McDonald's and SeaWorld. Or something
that's
like that.
Right.
I was like, wow, you've You've really done yourself justice there, love.
Well, usually over here, you just got to say that you're 6 foot odd. There's a big height thing here. I guess it's possibly not as important over there.
Not at all.
But then again, when I first went over there, I thought, hey, I might be quite tall. In Japan, turns out not in the slightest. Exactly the same mean height, maybe an inch shorter. Terrible.
I don't know. I do feel slightly taller out there.
I know. You're right. On average,
it's not what a lot of guys think it's going to be.
No, exactly. No. Yeah. You know, I think you need to go to like Manila or something for that kind of caper. Either way, it didn't work. Ugly man. Never mind.
Poor old Pete.
You've been filming a little bit in Onagawa.
Yeah, so the last video I put out, we went to the coastline and filmed about the tsunami damaged coastline. It's a video I wanted to make for, like, you know, 3 years.
Yeah.
But only then did we kind of get the right stories. There was no point going in there unless we had some good stories of people to talk about. And the idea was, we've got this area that was destroyed by terrible tsunami, worst possible thing that could happen, really. Mm. And, yeah, the area's bounced back pretty spectacularly in the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, some of the stories that you kind of... Because it's a bit of a pace change from your channel, if you don't mind me saying. Like, it's
more serious, isn't it?
Yeah. I enjoyed it. There was, like, the guitar, the Questrel guitar.
$7,000 guitar made by a designer who designs Enzo Ferrari.
They were so cool looking.
It was cool.
That was a cool looking
nails,
guitar.
No nails, no glue, no nothing. It was like...
That's right, yeah. It was just
very
completely
space-age
solid.
Guitar.
Yeah.
For $7,000.
That is too much. And a bloke who made a Lamborghini out of cardboard. The Lamborghini.
Nintendo inspired.
Yeah, because there's
maybe he inspired Nintendo.
Maybe. Who knows?
Nintendo cardboard thingamajig.
Yeah, it's like it's basically a thing you put your Switch into, the Nintendo Dabo, or Dabo. I suppose it's just Dabo, isn't it?
See, at first I thought it looks a bit flimsy. There's a bit of a stigma around cardboard, isn't there?
Yeah.
And yet, some of that stuff you can do, it was pretty cool stuff, like making little remote control cars.
Yeah, really
fishing.
Kind of... I think it's like mainly built for children, but the problem with children is they do get things soggy, and I reckon that would not survive much heavy play with
children.
Yeah, exactly. It's not right. You also tried to hang out with Ken Watanabe.
Yeah. So actually, well, one of the reasons for wanting to do the video, along with actually genuinely wanting to make a video, there was this idea that I could meet Ken Watanabe, and it's been like a thing. For all my videos, I've joked about meeting Ken Watanabe. He's Japan's biggest actor.
Is he? Right, okay.
He, everyone knows him outside of Japan. And, yeah, I was told I could meet him. Because he owns a restaurant, which he's built in this little town in Kisunuma. And the guy that organised it was like, oh, yeah, we can meet Ken Watanabe. No problem, I think. And then we got the dates wrong.
Oh, no.
Missed it. And I was gutted. And another guy we interviewed in the video, really cool guy called Nishant, he was like... I saw Ken Watanabe last week. He served me coffee. I was like, oh! Literally, because I was going to hold a camera and be like, la ha ha, what do you think? And then just talk. Just be like, oh, it's so good. And then be like, what do you think, Ken? And like, turn the camera. And Ken Watanabe is like, you know, sitting there, doing a quote from Last Samurai. I will miss our conversations, or whatever he said.
What I would say is that I've noticed that Ken Watanabe is playing the king in The King and I. In London.
Yeah.
And I think you might be stalking that man. It can't be a coincidence that you've landed in London the exact same time.
It would be kind of creepy. I was told that he might have watched the video, though. I think the restaurant forwarded the video onto him.
Ah, okay.
I was like, have a look at this, Ken. And so hopefully he's watched it. But that creeps me out, the idea of Ken Watanabe sat in a room somewhere, probably down the road from
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably in a hotel around
the
corner.
Watching it on his iPhone. Yeah. My dream of meeting Ken Watanabe. It still remains a dream, unfortunately.
Never mind.
Until the next time.
Never mind.
But yeah, I mean, the coolest thing of that video was the Fisherman Call app. You see that?
There's an app that, for some reason, to rejuvenate the area of Onagawa, well, Miyagi.
The idea was to make the fishing industry look cool, basically.
Right.
Which is an uphill struggle.
Well, everyone eats fish in Japan. It's a big deal. But maybe fishermen as a job isn't that sexy. So
they
got an app where you could get a wake-up call, an alarm call from a working fisherman.
Yeah, so the idea is I can't believe it still. You pull out this app.
Yeah.
You choose what time you want to wake up. You know, 6:15. And then you choose your fisherman.
Choose your fisherman!
Oh, Takeshi Sato, age 47. Like, you hit his profile photo.
Like Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, but there, because it's fisherman. And then 6:15, Takeshi Sato will ring you up and be like, well, look at this fish I've caught. And he'll show you a photo of the fish he's caught and be like, get out of bed and go to bloody school, you muppet. He won't
say it like strange. That. But,
yeah.
How does he have time to ring all of these people?
Well, Takeshi, Takeshi would be getting up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Going out, fishing a bit.
So
6 a.m.
He's
probably coming in. It's days over, isn't it? But we could use it. We could technically try and use
it. Yeah, try and ring him.
Find it uncomfortable, the idea of this fisherman ringing me up.
I don't like using the phone at the best of times. I don't want a fisherman on there as well.
But I thought it was a great concept.
It's a bit of a novel concept.
yeah.
So strange.
You hear
I love
about
it.
Things like that. It reminds me of, like, I think it's a bit gimmicky.
Mm. It'll run for like 3 weeks and then they'll just go. Yeah, yeah, we're not doing the fisherman.
Fair play to.
So, you might not be Twitter verified, Chris, you do have a fierce following on Twitter.
Yeah, you've got some lovely people.
Got some lovely people on there.
Wonderful
folks. 862 likes for this tweet. Starting a podcast tomorrow. If you've got any ridiculous questions about anything you want answered, get them in.
So, get the ball rolling.
So many people getting involved with this. 276 people tweeting in.
Awesome. What we got?
Number one, the anime man says, am I your favourite Japanese vlogger? Vlogger.
The anime man.
He's your friend, isn't he?
He's
naughty boy.
He's certainly in my top 50. Top vloggers. He's up there, top 50.
He's up there. Work conditions in Japan. Are you that familiar with them? How was your time in the Japanese language school? Maki Mai Angel wants to know. Maki Mai Angel.
That's a tough one.
It surely just depends on the sort of level of
work,
I suppose.
Depends on the company.
Yeah.
As a teacher in Japan, it's actually not too bad. Mm. I had a good ride. Mm. The staff were really kind, considerate, always went out their way to help me. But I would have a tough time working for a Japanese company because you really have to give your heart and soul to the company. You're not just a person working at a company. You are like a piece of the company.
Culturally, there's a sort of situations where people will insist on working later than their manager and things like that.
They absolutely have to. If you don't work till like 10 p.m, you'll never get promoted and you might get fired.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Like, actually, one of those... as a teacher, if I stayed past 5 p.m, I think I finished work at 4:30 p.m. If I stayed past then till 5, till 6, I would get lots of praise.
Right.
I'd just be sitting at my desk, literally doing nothing.
Yeah.
Working on a video, typing my own script to a YouTube video or something. And then people would be coming over being like, oh, you're such a great worker, because you're there.
Yeah.
And the idea in Japan is you're good at your job if you're just there. If you're on call, you're there. Mm. Even if you're not doing anything. So productivity in Japan's not as good as you think. A lot of people are surprised to hear that I think productivity in, I think, America and the UK is higher than Japan.
Right, okay.
I have to check that. I'm not really too bold. But I do think productivity is higher in America than it is in Japan.
It's cultural. I think the government, I was reading that the Japanese government have started some incentive programs for people leaving on time and things like that.
There was a high-profile case of Dentsu. Dentsu is the biggest advertising firm in Japan, biggest PR firm. And a worker, I think she jumped out of a window because she was just going crazy with the workload.
Yeah.
And that's changed everything. Mm. So hopefully we'll see that change in Japan, because it is a problem as far as I'm concerned. And overwork everywhere.
And not only that, there's a big culture of drinking after work as well, and if you don't drink with your colleagues...
You have to drink, yeah.
It's crazy. So, like...
See, on the service, you think, oh, yeah, drink after work. Smashing. And then you have to do it 5 days a week, and then you're wrecked, and then,
How do you get anything done the next day? If I have, like, 2 beers, I'm ruined the next day. I can't really do anything properly.
Japanese people are magic. I don't think I've ever seen a hungover Japanese person.
No. And
they handle it really well in a way that we don't. Their metabolism seems to be quicker.
I don't like it.
And they have these little drinks. Have you ever seen them? Like Yukon. Well, you drink it before you go drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Tastes like Red Bull.
Right.
Little can. And the idea is it makes the alcohol process quicker in your body.
Is that right?
But it just doesn't work. For me, anyway. Seems to work
maybe
for Japanese people.
Maybe it's your Western metabolism.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, speaking of which, Warthead wants to know, what is your favourite sake? And what sake would you recommend for someone who is new to drinking it?
Whoa. Whoa. My first way into Japanese alcohol was actually umeshu, which is plum liqueur.
Yes.
Mixed with sake. You see it in like izakayas and bars. Mm. You'll see like a bottle on the sideboard somewhere with lots of little plums stuck in it. And they sort of put plums in a bottle of sake basically for a few months, and then bang,
it's umeshu. Plum.
Ah. Bang, it's plum. That could be the tagline for the brand.
Bang,
of the measure.
Plum.
Bang, plums. but, yeah, it's the easiest way in as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so slightly
soft.
At the aforementioned okonomiyaki restaurant, they came over with the oil to put on the hot plate to make the actual pancakes, and they and I thought it was sake, so I popped myself a shot.
Oh no!
And the woman ran over. No, don't do that.
That'd have been game over.
Do that.
The Pete Donaldson saga would have come to a
big glass of warm oil.
There.
Lovely. Tom Fitney, hello Tom. How long, Chris, did it take before you felt as though you were assimilating into Japanese culture and way of life? Was there one particular point where you thought, oh, I'm kind of getting this a bit?
It was. It was about 18 months in.
Right.
When I befriended a few Japanese people. Mm. I had literally no friends in my first year. I did what a lot of foreigners do.
Yeah.
Just hang out with other foreigners.
Yeah.
Easier to, like, kind of get over the cultural, you know, nightmare that exists. But in a quick space of time, I had a Japanese girlfriend. I befriended Natsuki, and I had quite a few Japanese mates, and that changed everything. I felt like, you know, I felt like I was part of something.
Okay.
I felt integrated into the town.
Get yourself a Natsuki.
Get yourself a Natsuki, and the easiest way to get yourself a Natsuki is just go to a bar. Like, just go out to a bar, and you'll meet so many characters. You don't have to drink. If you don't drink, just get an alcoholic beverage.
Get yourself, I was going to say, get yourself
alcohol-free
a
alcohol-free Asahi.
Get yourself tomato juice.
Don't do that. Tastes awful.
Red Eye. My favourite drink in Japan is Red Eye, which is lager mixed with tomato juice.
You are mad.
It's surprisingly tasty.
To people with no taste buds. You're off your rockers, mate.
And there's also a liqueur called Yogurito that just tastes like yogurt. It just tastes
Yogurito.
Like Yogurito.
How do I not know this?
It tastes like it's in a blue bottle. It's always next to the Midori. Midori's green, isn't it?
Isn't it,
the word green. Yeah. Next to the Midori, it's always next to that, and it's always this blue bottle, and it just tastes like, you know, those little Yakults.
Yeah,
but it gets you drunk really slowly.
You've ordered this,
yeah. And I've went...
Yogurito. Yogurito kudasai.
It's delicious. It is delicious. So if you want to get in touch with the show, we'll be doing a couple more of these messages next week, I think.
Yeah. Just do like hashtag Abroad in Japan and send stuff in, basically.
We'll put a topic out and just reply to that, I suppose.
We'll be better.
We're better organised. I think...
There's not a lot of organisation.
The moral of the podcast story, just get it out there. Bloody get it out there. Shall we finish up with a current event, a news story?
Wacky news of the week.
Wacky news of the week. Is that an official title? If you can think of a better title, let us know.
Is there like a little sound you can play to follow that up? Wacky news of the week.
Wacky news of the week.
Sweet chocolate.
There you go. That's Natsuki saying sweet chocolate.
How did you get this?
I have my ways, Chris.
Where have you got this stuff?
Sweet chocolate.
So
that was when he was eating some Marmite.
I love the audio clip. Good old Natsuki. so the wackiest news of the week here is the tallest building in Japan, up and coming, is a 350-metre tall building made solely of wood.
Whoa, steady, hang on.
By the Sumitomo Forestry Industry Company thing.
I bet it was. Oh, what can we build this? We're a forestry commission, so what are we going to build it out of?
It's for their 350th anniversary of the company.
Right.
$5.5 billion and 350 million... Well, I don't know what I'm on about. 350 metres of wood. Now, this is coming out in 2041.
Yes.
Don't know why they brought it up now.
2041. I almost guarantee I will not be still with us.
Well, let's hope so.
And even if there's any stairs, I won't be able to climb up it. I know that.
I would not have the confidence to go in it, right? Every building in Japan that's made out of wood has been burnt down at some point.
Golden Guy was on fire last year.
Golden Guy and Shinjuku went on fire. And if you go to any castle in Japan, it's either not there, because the guy burnt down, didn't it, 500 years ago, or it's been rebuilt 6 times.
Yeah.
And they finally built it out of bricks or something to try and hide it. But... yeah, no, I'm amazed they have the balls to do this, basically. It's going to be the tallest structure in Japan, second only to the Sky Tree.
That's crazy.
And, yeah, and I won't be going up it. But they clearly haven't learned a thing.
Well, doesn't the wood get, like, wet and bigger? Will it get even bigger when it's wet? When it soaks up all that
I can
lovely
imagine
Japanese rain?
The architectural team sitting in the room saying that exact phrase.
Oh, God.
Will it get bigger when it's wet?
Why have we made this bloody building? Why have we made this out of wood? Why have we made these promises we can't keep? Why are we writing checks that our behinds can't cash?
It's like one of these bold things. I wonder if it'll happen. It reminds me of the Pikari Sweat thing. Like 3 or 4 years ago, Pikari Sweat announced they were sending a bottle of Pikari Sweat, this energy drink basically, right, to the moon on SpaceX.
Okay, right.
Nothing heard of it since then.
So it just it never actually.
Basically, they were going to strap a bottle of Pikari Sweat to a SpaceX rocket, send it to the moon. Great PR.
That is less impressive than an entire car, which is what they did last week.
And, yeah, Elon Musk trumped Pikari Sweat.
Could they not have just popped a bottle of Pikari Sweat in the glove box?
For a few million quid.
For a few million quid, just stick it in there.
Yeah. Elon Musk's listening. Money, mate.
Money.
Cash in on that.
You love a bit of Elon Musk, don't you?
Yeah, he's a top man.
He's a top man.
I feel a special bond with him, given the fact I've given him his birthday cake.
Yes, you once fed Elon Musk when you were...
Did he had a birthday at a place I worked, and they were like... Here's a rocket-shaped birthday cake, Chris. Give it to Elon Musk. I was like, what? Are you bloody joking? And I had to go out to him like, hello, Mr. Musk. Here's your rocket-shaped cake.
Please tell me he went brrr into his mouth.
I did. I was so
Three,
in awe.
3, 2, 1,
I was terrified
smash.
I was going to drop the cake on his face and, like, ruin everything. But
wow.
It's weird, you know, looking at a man who is, like, single-handedly driving the space industry. If I dropped the cake on his face and he'd suffocated and died... Like, the space industry would be set back 20 years. So I basically saved the space industry.
You might have given him diabetes. You might have shortened his life by a little bit.
A rocket-shaped cake.
Oh, never mind. So this has been the first episode of Abroad in Japan.
It's gone quite well, hasn't it?
No one's fallen off anything.
Yeah.
No one's sprained an ankle or a wrist.
And I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. if you'd like to review Chris's Abroad in Japan show, just head on over to do it on iTunes. That's where everybody reviews things nowadays, yeah. Podcast wise. And tell your friends, for crying out loud. Tweet about it. Open the window.
Tell your dog. Tell your mom.
Maybe you are a man working on a really tall wooden skyscraper. Just stand on the girder. Do they have girders? The wooden ones? I don't know.
A wooden girder.
I don't
want to get into it.
Shout, hey, everyone, listen to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Episode 1 is out now. And more information can be found at Abroad in Japan.
Yeah, I'll be going on about it loads. No doubt about it. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Oh, it's a podcast.
You know where to find it. Let's get out of here, Chris.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.